Mike Bisaglia here from SeavillePodcast.com. You are about to listen to Runcast, a weekly form of everything running, with your host, Mark Lorenzoni, a community running expert who has been directing hundreds of area for nonprofit foot races and coaching thousands of runners for the past 30 years.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Runcast, and quite a week to be talking about running because it's following up on what was a near perfection. Just had a perfect baseball game pitch. Well, this was a near perfection oriented 10 miler, 36th edition. Mike Inge's debut as race director, along with a really great cast of Schultz Track Club volunteers and board members. And Madison House volunteers pulled off a just fantastic event. Perfect weather. Seemingly, you know, on the surface to some folks, not good weather, 38 degrees, overcast. And we always say lousy for spectating, great for racing. And as you know, Mike, you were out there. It was a really good day, no, low wind. Close to 2,700 entrants. Had about just under 2,400 people finish. And, of course, that's a little misleading. People say, oh, my gosh, is that many people drop out? No, that many people dropped out prior to the start of the race. Just it's a 10 to 15% no-show every year because people enter early and then change of plans, injuries, whatever. So congrats to all those people, particularly not just the champions and the age group winners, which, by the way, because it's a new course this year, because we had a complete change for the last mile, you cannot call these records. If somebody sets somebody wins their age group, these are not the same records as in the past. So this is now a whole new set of course records. But I was talking, you know, who to congratulate here, not only the champions and the age group winners and all the people that ran PRs, but particularly those folks who ran their first 10-miler. Such a big deal. Congrats to the grads of the Schultz Track Club training program. I mean, such a huge, I continue to remind them that in this, you know, running crazy town, that finishing the 10-miler, it's been kind of dumbed down in some people's eyes. And it's sad because it's still a huge accomplishment. Well, you know, my friend's done a marathon, 10 miles is no big deal. My friend's done an ultra marathon, and those are great accomplishments, but so is the 10 miles, particularly on this course. So congrats to all those folks. You know, it was just a wonderful day all the way around. Seth Hutchinson repeated, obviously by now people have heard, ran almost the same time he did last year, interestingly enough. Same kind of race. He pulled away from the second place guy early on, this time even earlier. He set the tone, and nobody went with him. And then Loretta Desabe, she had a different race of sorts, former UVA runner, now living in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and trained for the Pittsburgh half. She was a standout at UVA distance runner. She had all kinds of people making assaults at her throughout the women throughout the first 4 or 5 miles. And the last person to try and make an attempt at her was Louise Knudsen, who's on the post-collegiate team. She was the runner-up last year. She's our fastest marathoner in Charlottesville, 2:47 marathon PR. Coming into this event, she's in, just like Seth, training for the Boston Marathon. And she was 4 seconds, Mike, behind 4 seconds behind Loretta at 5 miles.
Yep.
And then Loretta just unleashed this, you know, tremendous surge on her. And by 8 miles, so just 3 miles later, she had opened up a gap of 70 seconds.
Wow.
So she was picking up 20 seconds a mile on her, saying goodbye, you know, game over. So anyway, it's Louise had a good effort. She's really come along quite a bit over the last couple of years with her running. But Loretta was just a tough to beat that day. And then Louise ended up finishing third. She worked so hard catching Loretta that had a little bit of the punch taken out of her. And her teammate, Vicky Chandevel, she's an assistant coach out at Western, the MJAK winner. You remember the name.
Sure.
Since you were in both of these races, chasing both of those women all over the course,
absolutely.
Right? In a sense. She overtook her teammate. I suspect that was a mixed feeling for her because she trains Louise. And, you know, but all's fair and love and war. And so she was second, 2-minute PR for her. Some other neat stories out there. Maddie Webb from Western, she was 6 overall, 63.49. She's a high schooler. And then we did have some really great age group winners. Andrea Wright, again, these are all course records. She ran 65.55, I think. She's 49 years old,
wow.
About ready to turn 50. Can you imagine, Mike? You can really appreciate that.
Sure.
Mark Robbins, Harry Landers, Linda Scandor, Nancy Fraser, Jennifer Hoekman, Meg Crook. There's a bunch of Hosni. They're really did excellent out there. And hats off to so many people. Had a really cool pile of husband and wife duos.
Nice.
Which almost there, you yourself.
Almost
there. Could call yourself that,
yeah.
Right? We can
get
publicly
there.
Talk about this.
Sure.
You and your fiance got to run together. And that is really, you know, there are very few experiences you have as a husband and wife that you can really share at that level than running a foot race of that length, step for step. It's very cool.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I mean, for us, it took us about an hour and a half. So it's really an hour and a half, no headphones on, just talking and chatting at certain points, depending on where we were in the course on the race. But it was, I mean, we just got to talk for an hour and a half. And how often can you say that without a TV in the background or
I'm going to talk a little bit more about you later in the podcast here. But
alrighty.
You really did it right. And you just touched on something right there without even realizing it, that your ability to talk there was because you didn't act like an idiot, either one of you.
Yep.
At the beginning.
Yeah.
And I hate to use the term idiot, but, you know, it gets people to wake up. They say, gee, Mark, you're so harsh with your words. And gee, well, it's years of experience of trying to get points across to people.
Right.
And I always tell them, did I piss you off by calling you an idiot? And they say, you really did. And so I never want to be called an idiot again. So I'm going to behave next time.
Right.
And it's not to benefit me. I'm not the one suffering in a foot race over the last 7 miles or 3 miles or whatever, because I went out at a pace that I'm incapable of holding for the race.
Right.
And you, of course, did a really good job with that.
We'll
talk about that in a second. But a lot of great husband and wife duo combos, Adam and Nicole George, Jim and Sarah Cargill, Missy and Dan Brown, Susan, Steve Nelson, Paul and Eric Rittenhouse, Paul and Aaron Rittenhouse, Jim and Katie Ryan, Tim and Christine Schnell, and of course their daughter, Caroline, the trio of them ran all in at different times, but still had great events. Vicky and Clay Marsh, Beth and Jack Smith, Scott and Mary Claire Smith. Beth and Jack Schmidt and Scott and Mary Claire Smith. It's Bill Brown. When I said Dan Brown, I said, that's one of my former employees. I said, that didn't sound right. Also, the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah,
author.
We used to tease
our employee.
Right.
That, it must be nice to be so famous. But anyway, congrats to them. So all around a good event. And all the money benefited Camp Holiday Trails. And really one of the cooler stories out there the day was Mike had so much help from so many people. And a guy named Kenny Ball, he's an antique salesman in town, heading to his fourth Boston this spring. One of the fastest people in Charlottesville, certainly in his age group. He's 54 years old. He helped load all that water that people drank out of. He loaded into his Kenny Ball Antiques vehicle on Friday, 125 5-gallon jugs, all the cones for the course, all the tables, all the cups, everything. He loaded in, and then I met him with my daughter Audrey, and the three of us went out there 4:30. We met at 4:30. We're on the road at 4:33, and we laid out all that water and all those cones. And then, unlike Audrey and I, who were just helping with the event, he got on the starting line, and he ran 69 minutes. He's 54 years old.
Wow.
And for you, young man, you can really appreciate that, because your fantastic goal of breaking 90 minutes, which is huge, by the way, the median time was 90:45.
Right.
And it's always a really, especially if running is either newer to you or you're cutting your teeth on it at some level, you haven't had some incredible high school experience background, college experience background, you want to get under the median time. That's a really great goal to have as a competitive goal in your kind of, not early days of running, but certainly as you look at the event and say, I'm more at the novice or I'm more at the, I don't have a great running background. That is really a great goal. And so you did it, you and your
gal.
You did it the right way. You practiced that perception of effort and that negative split attitude, which all starts by digging a deep foundation early on that's going to keep the house up strong throughout the entire race. The analogy we use, you know, if you rush a foundation of a house, don't let it cure, don't take your time with it. You rush to put the floors up, the 2x4s, the roofing, whatever. The house collapses eventually, and that happens in running so often.
Yeah, no, I want to thank you, Mark. Just it was perfect. Started out nice and slow with that, about 9:30 pace in the first mile. And when we got to mile marker number 5, and that's where you're sort of leaving the downtown mall.
Yeah, you make that abrupt left to go up 7th Street, short, steep hill past the amphitheater.
Feeling that, and I thought to myself, I feel like we haven't even started yet. I mean, I felt fantastic, and that was my favorite stretch of the course, because that was, we approached a few streets I'd never seen before, and it was a good feeling. I loved it. Like, I was like, I've never been here in Charlottesville before, and all the people on the streets. That was maybe my favorite moment, just in the middle of everything.
Yeah.
Really, the surroundings, looking at the beautiful homes. It was a great time.
You if you would talk to another person, and I said idiots earlier, but I was one of those idiots years ago of going out too fast. They wouldn't have noticed any of that because at that point they're starting to struggle.
Right.
All they're thinking about is where the heck is the finish line?
Sure.
Do I stop and walk? What do I do here? Because I'm feeling so bad. And they're the ones that quite often they're shooting for 9 minute pace and went out to 8:10.
Right.
Say, God, I've got 50 seconds in the bank. Then the next mile is 8:22. Now I got another 38 seconds in the bank. And what they're not realizing is that's poison building up in their body. And they get
sure.
to 5 miles and they come off the mall because they've been going down Preston, shoot up old Preston there, up onto the mall. And then you make that abrupt left. And that's kind of a reality check. And your reality check was, I'm doing great. You and your gal, you're doing great. Some people come off the mall and they go, OMG.
Yes.
I've got 5 more miles to go and I am not in control anymore. I'm running
right.
slower and working harder. And that phrase, I want to repeat it. When you're not working harder and running slower, game done.
And what I loved about running with my fiance was that was a point where almost like a mini version of what I could have done to start was go a little too fast again from mile 5 to 6. I'm feeling great. And I picked up the pace, but she was like, hey, slow down. Because I was starting to go
yeah.
a little too fast. We weren't approaching the landing point. And she slowed me down a little bit, which I really appreciated. And then when we got to mile marker 7 and 8, I revved it to that next level.
Yeah, and then, of course, this year, a nice treat to have that last mile
yeah.
be somewhat forgiving, be somewhat downhill. So anyway, a great day. People that got it right, Jen Hochran started out with a negative split mentality. She won her age group. Her goal at the beginning of the winter was to break 70 minutes. She's 40 years old, 41
wow.
years old. She ran 69 minutes. David Cook, guy, owns the cleaners over there by Eljo's at Millmont. He and his family have owned it for years. Came to me about 6 weeks ago, said, Mark, getting a little older, still like to break 70 minutes, a big goal. How do I do it? Sat down with a plan, did some good, added some decent type workouts, but also same type of thing, negative split it. And he was well under 70 minutes, actually. Other races of note around town over the weekend, we had the National Marathon, half marathon the same day, which is too bad because that's a great event.
Right.
And we had several folks do really well up there. Jessica Spears ran a 3:17 marathon. She's a local woman, tremendous. Amy Martin was second in her age group with a 1:26 and a half marathon. These are all, of course, her locals. Charlie Hurt was fifth overall. He's on their RMR post-collegiate team, and he called me. He was ecstatic. Mike, now this is a veteran. Ran high school competitively, one of William Mary's top runners, but thick about this whole concept of negative splits, POE. He calls me, he's ecstatic Saturday afternoon. Mark, you wouldn't believe it. I did it. I finally practiced what you've been preaching. I felt
right.
awesome the whole way, passed people the whole way, finished fifth overall in this huge, prestigious half marathon. Former 10-miler champ, by the way, and 55-second PR, which close to a minute PR at his level, that's a big deal. Sally Ford, she ran in the mid-35s. She's on the RMR team on a 10,000-meter race on Friday evening, and her teammate Donnie Cowart did really well in his event. Just a really great weekend all around. Eliza O'Connell, she won this Terrapin half marathon mm-hmm. trail run, set the course record, 2 hours and 1 minute. And then her training wow. buddy, Sophie Spidell, was second overall female in the 50K. So there was stuff going on all over the place this weekend. But, of course, the big happening show. John Arrows, it was the 10 miles. John Arrows, 71 years old, Tobacco Road Marathon last weekend. Really tremendous finish there for him. And then Kate Sinclair, she's the mom of Elizabeth Sinclair, who won her age group at the 10-miler on Saturday, Elmore High School star. She ran a 4-minute PR also at that Tobacco Road Marathon. So a lot of good stories this time of year. It's going to be like this from this point
right.
forward, pretty much a lot of things, but nothing quite like the granddaddy of them all, the 10-miler. Really, really pleased to see how well. Had a neat note from a woman named Robin Edwards, I obviously have helped her at some point. She trained in the summer, but worked with the 10-miler training this winter. And then she says, hi, Mark, thanks for the great tips on perception of effort for the 10-miler. I followed your advice and beat my goal of a 9-minute mile by running 8:44 per mile. It's 5 minutes faster than last year time.
Nice.
I look forward to summer training, blah, blah, blah. It's great. And this perception of effort isn't Mark Lorenzoni, old
right.
as the hills. It's just, it seems to be a new kind of thought process for a lot of people. And it really is a relaxing technique, too. You can go out and really enjoy the event a lot more if you're not trying to, you know, punch your way through any event, by the way, that's running oriented. And I would argue just about any event, period. You know, if Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson gets to a long hill and they're walking up that fairway and they say, I want to get up that hill as hard as I possibly can with my, you know, with my caddy at my side. Come on, let's surge up there. There's an effect, ultimately, there's a cumulative effect of that that will make them more fatigued later on and therefore affect their you know, the stroke, you know, the sweating or whatever.
I was at mile marker one, and I just want to say I saw somebody juggling, and he ran past me about somewhere between mile marker one and two. I don't know if he did it the whole way.
He did do it the whole way. It's Rick Witowski, and he's one of these wild things that he does. He's a good ultramarathoner, a good marathoner. It's something he enjoys doing in the race. Jay James, really good effort out there. Same deal. I think he did actually practice negative splitting, which is really hard for him to do because he wants to. You know, the more competitive you are, the more competitive your background is, the more athletic you are, actually, you're more at risk to make that mistake of going out too quickly. So way to go to him. I think he broke 75 minutes. So you guys, you know, your staff team did good. And a call out to the interns and the people that helped along the way. We were able to get women's updates back in the vehicle, John and I, each mile pretty much. And then, of course, your situation was fantastic. But I heard you gave your phone. I told you to give... The phone should be handed to you by someone who could run alongside you, not a person who's just come off of a stress factor. Poor Lee, so she couldn't run along with you. So I gather you had to carry that phone?
I carried it for the way to 6 miles or 5 3/4 miles.
Probably didn't notice it after a while.
Hey, I really didn't. It was that's on me. That was bad organization on my point.
But it was cool to have you on the air talking, and I'd like to do that again next year because... You know, we talk of human interest stories so often, but this year we actually had a human interest story live out in the race. And what I was warmed by listening to you was your breathing. You were able to talk. You're in the middle of a foot race, trying to run the time of your life, really.
Yeah.
I mean, a big goal for you, breaking 90. And it wasn't, can't barely talk to you guys. You were gabbing away and said, well, got to go. So long.
Yeah, it was fun. It was conversational. Leon, you know, got me connected. And I was by the Bodos on Preston Avenue when I started to talk, and it wasn't more of hard to talk. It was more of, what should I say? I really had no idea. I'm like, I'm running, I'm doing well, I'm feeling good.
I knew you were going to race that good race that point because your split was already slower than 9 minute pace for 4 miles. I was figuring it out and said, oh, this is great. That means he's got plenty in the tank, but for the last half. All right, so. Let's see what else I've got here to talk about here. Recovering from the 10-miler, really important. This is something I get very frustrated with. The most important phase of any training program is recovery. So this week, 10-miler racers, and this is true of any long-distance race, the week after, 2 to 3 mile runs, maybe 3 or 4 times that week. Then next week, you go back up to 3 or 4 mile runs, maybe 3 or 4 times that week. And then the third week after a 10-miler, you can begin to think about bumping your mileage up a little bit, maybe jumping into a race. I am really discouraged people from trying to, you know, do something of consequence in the week or two after. You get away with it, but there's a long-term trickle effect that's not very positive. You're fatigued, you risk injury. We see stress factors. We see all kinds of injuries in that 3 to 5 week period after a race, and it's because people don't recover properly. So... right now, I have all my, like this morning, went out with some of my 10-miler people, some of the elite runners, meaning people that won their age groups, and they did 3 or 4 miles, really easy pace. Yeah. They're taking it easy this week. And it's so important spiritually and physically to replenish your body. And, you know, spiritually meaning you get hungry again. You can't get hungry if you just keep doing a series of races one after another. After a while, you start to burn out, and we're trying to always avoid that. So very important. Do some running in the pool this week. Take some ice baths, get a massage, and we treat yourself to what you deserve, and that's a well-earned effort there on people's parts. Coach of the week this week, I thought it'd be fun just to call out some of the coaches that ran the 10-miler. Right. Doug Bloor, who we talk about so often, Monticello High School coach, he's a guidance counselor at Walton, sub-60, 44 years old.
That's great.
I mean, that's tremendous.
That's great.
Vicky Chandeville, of course, we talked about, second overall female. Coach Lindsay is the tennis coach over at Albemarle. Albemarle had a whole cachet of folks that are involved in coaching. Kathy Kaufman, she's the girls' distance coach. Tony Franklin, the head track coach. They were all out there in the event. And then Paul Rittenhouse, he's the Western Albemarle soccer coach, boys soccer coach. Really cool to see some of these non-running coaches, and they're runners, but non-running oriented, out there. So good for them. Great effort. Although I would argue, as I'm looking at all of these coaches, that they better have their athletes running. Soccer, big part of it. Tennis. He said, come on, what does running have to do with tennis? Or tennis have to do with running? But, you know, fatigue. That third set, second set, you're just hitting the tape each time. Ball's slightly going out. You're just half an inch missing a ball that's whizzing by you. All has to do with fitness. You know, it isn't all agility. The trivia question last week, you know, who was the first person? Only three people have broken 50, 10-mile course. It still remains that way.
Yeah, I saw that.
Seth wasn't feeling 100%, not to make excuses, and of course, no one to push you after a mile and a half into the race kind of leads to, a little more relaxed running. Free shirt to the winner, by the way. We didn't have anybody call in this week, but you get a free Ragamountain shirt. Anyway, Richard Ferguson, 1986, was the first person under 50 minutes. It was thought to be undoable, you know, the impossible, a dream, so to speak. He got his degree in exercise, sports psychology and exercise physiology, but sports psychology. He was under Rotella, the legendary sports psychologist, Bob Rotella, who, you know, he's the doctor to the stars. You know, he advises a lot of those guys in the PGA. Ferguson is now down in Averett, and he's one of the great sports psychologists. I recommend people to him quite often. You're having any issues with mind over matter, he's a great one to talk to. So anyway, he was the first. Here's the trivia question this week.
Okay.
Got big news, as you guys know. The UVA track going to be renovated. Not only renovated, going to be pretty much bulldozed in a beautiful, beautiful new gateway to all the other facilities. Facility is going to be built. Gorgeous. And yesterday, the news broke that I've got the newspaper here. Amy Mitchell Griffin, fantastic, a former volleyball player. She and her husband donated the kickoff gift, $5 million. Beautiful rendering here. Jason Vigilante's dream is coming to reality very quickly. Mm. So we're very excited about that. And, of course, why is it coming to reality this quickly is because we're hosting ACCs next spring.
Right.
In April. UVA. Want to put on a good show. Okay. So when Paul Ehring was here, the great Olympic gold medalist, and he was the big Showtime premier guy to run in that ACC meet that year that we hosted. What year was that? What year? And you should be able to get the answer by saying, okay, when was Paul Ehring here? When did he win the Olympic gold medal? Right. Blah, blah, blah. So, what year was that? I believe it's the last time we hosted because I don't know because of the facility itself if we've ever hosted again since then.
Okay.
But anyway, coming up in the starting blocks, one that I'm really excited about is the men's 4 miler training program. You got anybody listening to this podcast, of course, most people listening to this podcast are probably runners themselves and don't necessarily need a kickstart. But if you know of a male in your life, a grandfather, a father, an uncle, a brother, a co-worker, no, all joking aside, this is a life-changing a program. Tim Schneller did this a few years ago. We talk about Tim quite often, dropped 110 pounds over a two-year period, ran the Marine Corps Marathon this fall. He broke 90 minutes on Saturday. In fact, I had written it down somewhere. It was some incredible time. I mean, I looked at Tim when he came in. I said, what the heck? How did you do this? 87.57.
That's
and
great.
He's a big boy, big guy. So anyway, life-changing. The whole goal is, the initial goal, the care is to get you the men's 4 miler, which this year, very cool. Father's Day.
Nice.
Sunday, 7:30 in the morning. And where do we finish? The 50-yard line of Scott Stadium.
Very cool.
Come into one of the visitors' tunnel. Shoot in there, shoot onto the field. And we got a sponsor to cover the Jumbotron, meaning Mike Besegla, you'll come in. You've been in that stadium before, but you've never had you and you alone out kicking some guy. You look up, and as you cross the finish line, you look up, and there you are.
That's wild.
Live. We're really hoping this all translates to two things. One, a lot of money raised for the cancer programs over at UVA and the men's wellness programs through Bill Steer's Department of Urology, but also, more importantly, a lifestyle change for guys. And that's the bigger goal of this program. And it's a very safe, medically supervised, professionally coached a program. It starts you with a walk run, a minute of walking, 20 seconds of running, and we wean you from the walking eventually to the point where you're running 4 miles and hopefully running the rest of your life.
That's great.
It's this Saturday, 8 o'clock, Schultzville High School track, not the UVA track because of the track is going to be torn up here in the near future. And if you don't make it this Saturday, come any Saturday. We have an 11-week program. It's called Zero to Hero in 11 Weeks, and we're really excited about it. I can't wait. Bill Duxbury, a big help with this. Allison Holton and Dave Murphy and Jamie Collins. Big, big help. Zeta Run for Life, 5K this Saturday. That's the big, big, big UVA run of the year. It's the largest UVA-oriented, UVA-organized run. Paxson and April are putting this on again this year. Fantastic job they've done to this point. It's this Saturday morning, 10 o'clock. So I'm actually going to be over at the men's 4-miler at 8 o'clock, getting that kick started. I'll leave there and rush over and help them with the finish line over at Nameless Field over by Mem Gym. And on deck, the Run for Autism, I'm pushing this because I'm actually not going to be able to do this podcast next week. So we're going to have a break in the action. I'll be at the beach next week, which I'm excited about, spring break for public school. So Cynthia and I and Annie and a lot of Cynthia's family are coming down the Outer Banks. But
nice.
I want to call out that Run for Autism 5K is April 16th. It's near and dear to my heart, one of the largest 5Ks in town. We've added a kids' race to it. It's a kids' quarter mile. We're over at Charlottesville High School track this year. And the kids' race is the kickoff of the kids' triple crown, which is the Run for Autism, the Charlottesville Day School Family Fitness runs at Panorama on grass on May 1st. And then it rounds itself out with the big, big one, the Discovery Dash on Memorial Day weekend. That's the kids' triple crown. You get a medal, really neat medal. Kids ages 4 to 12, if you participate in all three of those events, big ceremony in June, you get a medal and a pat on the back. It's a big deal. And then in the starting blocks also, as we just talked about, is the track to be built. They should break ground sometime in the coming weeks. Very cool stuff. Runners of the week, I mean, it's really hard to pick. It's all over the map. Seth and Loretta obviously winning. Sophie, second in the 50K. Eliza winning that trail run. Amy Martin, second up in her age group. Charlie Hurt at National. Charlie Hurt, fifth overall. Kenny Ball with that amazing 69.49. Harry Landers, 71 minutes. He's in his late 50s. Andrea Wright, what the heck, 49-year-old, 65.56. Big, big Tim Schneller, who's not as big as he used to be, 110 pounds less. Attaboy. Jessica Spears. I could go on and on. Once again, reminds me, we're just full of really fantastic running stories in this town. Wonderful people, wonderful success stories, including the man sitting right across from me. Congrats to you. And let's call out to your gal. What's her name again?
Jessica Geisler.
Jessica Geisler.
She did a great job.
Very good. So fun time. A memory, certainly, for you guys. And what a way to start your day, your weekend, is to do something that neat physically. And then you feel that much better the whole weekend. Really rewarding. Everything you do is just, you know, icing after that.
It was a lot of fun. We really had a blast together. It was awesome. It really was.
And then one last call out to Mike Inge and all of the folks who put on the event. It's a ton of work to the city police, to the neighborhood associations. You see all those folks out there. We talked about David Toscano and that evergreen neighborhood down there. He's always out there, the former mayor and now House of Delegates. Neat to see folks out there. So thanks, everyone.
Oh, Mark, for participating. Got a call out to UT. You did a great job.
They didn't do much of anything. Hey. Fun on the radio and helped a little with Mike. And it was fun bonding experience for me, interestingly enough. Got to spend all the time with John in the car, which is really fun. But in more particular, one of my highlights, believe it or not, spending time with my daughter, Audrey, 4:30 in the morning, just she and one of my dearest friends, Kenny Ball.
Very cool.
The three of us, an hour and a half, alone, joking, and seeing Charlottesville like it was maybe 75 years ago. 4:30 in the morning, it's quiet.
Yeah.
Really get to soak in the beautiful, the beauty of our community.
Yeah.
And to be doing something like that together, it was really great. And Audrey, was a special father-daughter moment. You say, what? Wow, busy world. You don't get a lot of 90-minute quiet moments with your 24-year-old daughter. And it seems like an odd place to do it, but we had a blast.
Wow.
And, so anyway, okay, everybody, stay on your feet, stay happy, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
This week's edition of RunCast was brought to you by the Ragged Mountain Running Shop, Central Virginia's community running and walking family partner since 1982. Conveniently located on the historic UVA corner with free parking at their doorstop. Visit them online at RaggedMountainRunning.com or make sure you friend them on Facebook, Ragged Mountain Running Shop.